The New York Yankees kicked off a 13-game stretch by splitting 2 of 3 games against the Atlanta Braves. On this brief episode, we're going to break down that 2-game set and look ahead to the Yankees' upcoming 4-game series against the Cleveland Indians. Let's get started here on a brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We apologize in advance if our audio sounds a little weird. As they say, the show must go on, and we were dedicated to make sure we had a show for you available as we made the promise we would recap every single series this year to the best of our ability. And that's what we're going to do. Yankees just wrapped up a 2-game series against the Atlanta Braves. And although the Bronx Bombers split 1 game apiece with the Braves, the series just doesn't feel satisfying. And we're going to go into the series and more on this episode. Before we get started, a reminder, you can follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We're also available on Instagram by searching Delahanty Media, and you could find everything and anything regarding the Delahanty Media brand on our website by going to www.delahantymedia.com. If you are new to our show, we welcome you aboard. If you're a returning member, we thank you for your continued support. As always, our show is available on all podcasting platforms. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Music, TuneIn Radio, you name it, our show is there available for you to download. Whatever platform you do use, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. All feedback is definitely most appreciated. Now, let's jump right into this series, and let's go into Game 1. Game 1 happened on Tuesday night in the Bronx. Yankees came in with a 5-game losing streak, so they were looking for anything, and really anything, to help get them back on track. The Yankees end up winning this ball game, but it wasn't because they played extremely well. Atlanta handed them the ball game, and we're going to tell you how they did so. All right, so Jameson Taillon gets the start for the Yankees, and he was solid. Went 5 strong, threw only 80 pitches, allowed 1 run. That run came in the 3rd inning. He was solid. If you're looking for a positive, he's looking more and more effective as he goes along. I think that over time, he's a guy the Yankees can rely on. Hopefully, he could continue to get sharper, because if he could keep the pitch count low, he may be able to pitch later into games, and that would tremendously help the Yankees' bullpen. So in the 3rd inning, the Braves scored their only run of the game on an RBI double, and that's all the Yankees pitching staff would let up. But as we know, the Bronx Bombers are not the Bronx Bombers at this point of the season. They have been mightily struggling offensively. But they get a spark in the bottom half of the 5th inning when Gio Urshela, the most happy fella, it's a 437-foot bomb to center field. Yankees tie up the game there. Now, we had nothing from that point on until the 8th inning. Between then, you got a solid outing out of Lucas Lickey. He did walk 2, but he was able to get out of the jam. Then, in turn, turns the ball over to Chad Green. Green allows 2 hits, but did strike out 2. Yankees, in a little bit of a bind, bring in Justin Wilson to face Freddie Freeman, who grounds out to end the threat. Loaisiga comes on to pitch the top half of the 8th, and he does Jonathan Loaisiga-type stuff. There was an inning that strikes out a batter. Looked really impressive. We go to the bottom of the 8th. And to be quite honest, the Yankees got a lot of help from the Braves as a whole. Aaron Hicks, pitch hits for Tauchman. He walks, start the inning, followed by a LeMahieu single. Then a Judge single to right, which Hicks should have scored on, but that's beyond the point. When you jog around 3rd base, you're not going to score. It is what it is. Now you have the bases loaded. Clint Frazier gets the opportunity to pinch hit for Gardner. And I'm saying this is his moment. This is the time where he's going to earn his pinstripes, earn his way back into the lineup. Wrong. But before that happens, a wild pitch from Jones scores Hicks. The Yankees take a 2-1 lead. Frazier, unable to do anything, pops out to 2nd. Then the Braves counter by intentionally walking Giancarlo Stanton to face Gleyber Torres. Torres flies out, no runs score. Mike Ford, who was called up before the series, walks to give the Yankees a 3-1 lead. Now, you know, when you're looking at it as a whole, obviously, you would rather see the Yankees get a big hit or have a clutch moment in a situation like this. But when you're riding a 5-game losing streak, you'll take it however it comes. And yeah, it's not a situation where you're like, oh yeah, it's a great way to win a game or to take a lead. But you do realize the circumstance, and you know, you'll definitely take it for sure. You're not going to give back that inning at all, for that matter. We go to the top of the ninth. Chapman comes in. He looks great again. Did walk a batter, but struck out two. Ball game over. Yankees take the first game of the series 3-1. Like I said, disappointing way to win, because obviously, when you're on a 5-game losing streak, you want to come back and you want to have a kind of statement win where the offense clicks and you start to see signs of life. But unfortunately, that was not the case. Yankees struck out more times, 6 times to be exact, than they got on base by hits, and that was 5. So the offense is still not doing well. And if you take it into consideration, 5 of those hits that the Yankees had, 4 came off the bat of LeMahieu or Urshela. That means that the other 7 spots in the lineup combined for 1 total hit. That's not a good day at the ballpark. But regardless, you'll take the win. You hope that it could build some momentum heading into the second game of the series, knowing that the Braves are dealing with some injuries and they're kind of in the same predicament as you. So you're hoping that you could come away with a series sweep and try to get back on track. With the sweep of the Braves in mind, the Yankees turn to Corey Kluber. Kluber, who has not really been good at all, takes the ball for the Yankees, and again, he just has his moments where he kind of loses control of everything. Through the first couple of innings, put up a couple of zeros, looked rather effective, was able to spot his pitches and was getting some key outs. And then the 5th inning comes around and Kluber just completely loses it, was unable to get out of the 5th inning, threw 91 pitches total. Allowed 2 earned runs, walked 4 guys, actually walked more than he struck out. The situation with Kluber is this. The Yankees need length out of the starting pitching, and you saw it, and we talked about it earlier with Jameson Taillon. If they can get length out of those guys, it's going to go a long way in helping the bullpen stay fresh. And for a guy like Kluber, we know the injury history. We know that it's been a while since he's pitched at this level. But in the same token, how long is the leash on Corey Kluber? You know, when you're looking at it as a whole, the Yankees need something out of him. And I don't know what it is, but it just seemed like he flipped the switch and completely lost it in that 5th inning. Before that inning, I'm thinking, you know, maybe you could even get 6 out of him today. That's how, like, decent he was pitching. I wouldn't say he was great, but he was pitching at a level where maybe you get 6 innings, a run or two, and you'll take that any single day of the week, especially with the way the Yankees' offense has been. You got to limit the damage. Unfortunately, Kluber not able to get out of the 5th. Yankees have to go to Nelson. He goes an inning and a 3rd. He didn't allow a run on his own. Then you had Sessa for 2. He let up a run. And Brooks Krischke, who was called up for additional bullpen help, he goes an inning. Really struggled. He got optioned down to the minor leagues after the game, which was expected prior to anyway. Now, scoring-wise, Yankees didn't do much. All the damage was really done by the Braves. The Braves opened up the scoring in the 5th inning, that struggle inning from Kluber. They scored 2, then tacked on another run in the 7th and another one in the 9th on an Austin Riley home run that wouldn't have been out in any other ballpark in Major League Baseball, but we'll leave it at that. And then the Yankees score what ended up being a meaningless run on a single by Clint Frazier, snapped his streak of at-bats without an RBI. I was tired of hearing that one too. Yankees, 5 hits again, unable to get anything going. The real unfortunate thing is that the Braves as a whole only had 4 hits, scored 4 runs on 4 hits. Couple of things from this game. Number one, DJ LeMahieu, 0 for 5, really looked lost at the plate. He's just not himself right now. I don't know what's up with LeMahieu. I expect him to get back on track, but he's had kind of ups and downs so far this year. It may be that the Yankees lineup behind him is not hitting. Maybe he's not seeing pitches that he's used to because teams are now focused on him. Who knows? But I'm not really concerned about him. I'm sure he'll bounce out of it. Giancarlo Stanton's lost another offer. He's batting 158 on the year. Gio Urshela left the game with lower back tightness. Hopefully it's nothing serious. It was cold. Aaron Boone thinks it's just a day-to-day type of situation. Then you have the Gleyber Torres situation. Check swings on what was, I thought, was not a really great pitch. Ball trickles in front of the plate. Gleyber jogs to first base. Storyline all over the place. So you see an Andy Martino article, send him down to the minors, this and that. And Gleyber is taking it to heart. Posted on Instagram, you know, all the noise and stuff. There was a whole Instagram story. It was ended up being removed. But you could tell that these guys are just not there yet. And they're really pushing when they get to the plate. They're struggling. You could just tell that it's affecting them as a whole. If you look at the Yankees lineup from yesterday, and this is kind of scary, we're going to take out LeMahieu, and we're going to take out Judge, and we're going to take out Urshela, because those guys are hitting over 260 respectively. Okay? Now, I know it's early in the year, and average at this point really can't be a determining factor, but you have Stanton hitting 158, Torres 186, Aaron Hicks 154, Sanchez hitting 200, Frazier hitting 175. At some point, something's got to give. And it's the offense that's really hurting them because the pitching's been really good. My concern is that when the offense finally figures it out, because yes, they are going to figure it out, that the pitching's going to be so burnt that they're going to not be able to get outs. And then we're going to have high-scoring games. It's going to be really ugly. But again, it is a stressful thing. I don't know about you, but this team just lacks fire for me. It's hard watching them on a nightly basis at this point. They can't figure it out. I don't want to say they're frustrated, but you could tell there's some frustration there. And it just seems like there's no motivation. It's just going through the motions. This team needs somebody like a Paul O'Neill to fire them up, to spark them up. I don't know what to tell them at this point, but the way it's going, this is going to get really ugly really fast if changes aren't made. And where do you go with the changes? Do you blame Brian Cashman for making the Yankees look like a poverty franchise but not wanting to go over the luxury tax? Do you blame Aaron Boone for not getting the most out of his players? Do you blame the players? Start moving guys up and down. Let me tell you, if they option Gleyber Torres and put Tyler Wade at short every day, I will not watch. I'm just telling you that right now. I don't care if it's an upgrade. I don't care. I don't want to see it. Like Gleyber played through his struggles, it's the Yankees' fault for not getting a capable backup shortstop that could fill in the void. Who's to blame? I think if this continues, you're going to see a lot of people start with the Aaron Boone stuff. You heard the fire Aaron Boone chant in Yankee Stadium on Wednesday night. It's getting to be a situation that is turning very ugly very fast. And if these players don't start producing, it's only going to get uglier from here. And I don't think the Yankees want that. So there has to be, very key importance on this 8-game stretch that the Yankees are coming up on, this road stretch, because they need to capitalize on each and every one of these games. The Yankees will travel to Cleveland. That series will start on Thursday night. It'll be a 4-game set. Domingo Germán returns from the minor leagues. I don't know why we're not going Davey Garcia, but the Yankees feel like Germán is the right answer right now. Hopefully, he proves them right. Looks like we're going to get a Bieber-Cole matchup at some point this weekend, possibly Saturday. The pitching matchups are still to be determined. Then, after the Yankees take on the Indians in a 4-game set, they'll travel to Baltimore for another 4-game set for the majority of the week before heading home to host the Detroit Tigers for a 3-game set before finally getting an off day after 13 straight games. I don't know where the future is going to take us with this show in regards to positive, negative, but If it's anything like we've seen over the first 3 weeks of the season, it's not going to get better anytime soon. The Yankees need to hit that emergency button, that, I don't want to say panic button, but the emergency button, wake everybody up. They got to get back on track. They have the talent to do so. It's just a matter of it clicking and these guys getting back on track. Hopefully, Sunday, we'll have a better show for you, a more positive show. Would be very nice if the Yankees could sweep the Indians or take 3 of 4, get themselves right back on track before going to Baltimore and facing the Orioles, which they've had a lot of success against in the past and already took 2 of 3 from this season. I told you it was going to be a shorter show. Obviously, we only had 2 games to talk about, but we're hopeful that they could turn it around. The offense hasn't given any indication of that, but as long as the pitching stays as sharp as it's been, I got to tell you, I still got some hope, and I hope you guys do as well. If you missed it at the beginning of the show, make sure you follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our show is available on all podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show is there available for you. Make sure you're checking us out on any platform of your choice. We're also live on YouTube. Search up Delahanty Media for all the latest updates on the Delahanty Media brand. You could also check out our website, DelahantyMedia.com, if you're looking for more information or want to buy some Delahanty Media gear. The gear is really nice. Seen a bunch of it from a bunch of you. I'm excited to see more go out in the near future. Until next time, this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Regardless of how bad it's been, make sure you keep those pinstripes on. And as always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon, everyone. Take care.